This is the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. Thanks for waiting for me. I'm afraid I've been a bit busy for the past couple of weeks doing, believe it or not, some archaeology. The news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. A prehistoric necropolis has been found in Greece. An ancient olive oil factory has been discovered in Milas in Turkey. A prehistoric solar observatory is found in Peru and confirmed to be the oldest. An Iranian gardener stumbles across an ancient pot, though not literally. And we have a cemetery update on Vanuatu. The earliest horse paintings in Anatolia are uncovered, and early Europeans were unable to stomach milk. Finally, an export bar is placed upon a Neolithic jadeite axe head in the UK. Sorry about that. An as-yet unknown civilization that lasted from 6000 BCE to 60 BCE around four lakes has been uncovered in two important excavations of a Neolithic and Iron Age settlement in the Amiatiano district of Florina in northern Greece. A 7,300-year-old home with a timber floor, remnants of food supplies and blackberry seeds are among the finds at the Neolithic settlement. Garments, women's fashions and burial customs in northern Iudaea 3,000 years ago are coming to light among the hundred of funeral offerings in a forgotten necropolis dating from the Iron Age in western Macedonia. A systematic investigation of this area of Macedonia has found a total of 358 tombs dating back between 950 BCE and 550 BCE. The graves are mostly rectangular in shape and are placed in a circular formation, containing hundreds of funeral gifts buried with the dead. Among them are ceramic and bronze pots, jewellery, clothing accessories, iron and bronze weapons, and tools, as well as a number of other objects of unknown use. Panikos Chrysostomou, who is in charge of the dig, has attempted to depict the appearance of the women in ancient Pateli, with bronze ribbon diadems, bronze and gold hair ornaments, bead necklaces, and stone, bronze, and shell necklaces. Iron, ivory and leather belts are decorated with bronze, and they also have a wide variety of bracelets and bronze rings for the middle or ring finger. An ancient olive oil factory has been discovered in the village of Milas of Çakırlan district in southwestern Turkey. Staff from Selçuk University initiated archaeological work after a prospection for coal uncovered tombs with adjacent chambers. One of the archaeologists working at the site said the first results had also revealed an ancient olive oil factory. The factory is estimated to be at least 2,300 years old, but functions just like factories do today, with the olive oil transferred to ships and amphora, which were then carried to marketplaces around the Mediterranean. The ancient tomb discovered during the initial stages contained bronze, silver and higher quality ceramic pieces, which are a sign that they must have belonged to a very rich person. So perhaps olive oil was a very lucrative trade even back then. Archaeologists from Yale University and the University of Leicester have identified an ancient solar observatory at Chanquilo in Peru as the oldest one in the Americas, with alignments covering the entire solar year. Accounts from the 16th century CE detail practices of state-regulated sun worship during Inca times and related social and cosmological beliefs. They speak of towers being used to mark the rising or setting position of the sun at certain times of the year, but no trace of these towers had ever been found. At Chanquilo, not only were there towers marking the sun's position throughout the year, but they were still in place, and discovered to have been constructed much earlier than previously thought, approximately the 4th century BCE. Archaeological research in Peru is constantly pushing back the origins of civilization in the Americas. In this case, the 2,300-year-old solar observatory at Chanquilo is the earliest such structure identified and, unlike other structures, contains alignments that cover the entire solar year. Chanquilo is a massive ceremonial centre covering several square kilometres on the coastal Peruvian desert. It was better known in the past for a heavily fortified hilltop structure. For many years there has been controversy as to whether this part of Chanquilo was a fort or a ceremonial centre. But the purpose of a 300-metre-long line of 13 towers lying along a small hill nearby had remained a mystery. This new evidence now identifies it as a solar observatory. The 13 towers of Chanquilo run from north to south along the ridge of a low hill within the site. They are relatively well preserved, each having a pair of inset staircases leading to the summit. The rectangular structures between 75 and 125 square metres in size are regularly spaced, forming a toothed horizon with narrow gaps at regular intervals. About 230 metres to the east and west are what scientists believe to be observation points. From these vantage points, the 300-metre-long spread of towers along the horizon corresponds completely to the rising and setting positions of the sun over the year. In 2005, Clive Ruggles, a leading British authority on archaeoastronomy, was immediately impressed with the monumental structures. He commented that he is usually disappointed, since everything must point somewhere and there are a great many promising astronomical targets. The evidence, when you look at it objectively, turns out all too often to be completely unconvincing. Chanquilo, on the other hand, he says, provided a complete set of horizon markers, the 13 towers, and two unique and indisputable observation points. It's one of the most exciting archaeoastronomical sites that he has ever come across, and it seems extraordinary that an ancient astronomical device as clear as this one could have remained undiscovered for so long. A large pot, which is thought to be a prehistoric artifact, was recently discovered accidentally by a gardener working on his patch near the 7,500-year-old Sayok Tepe in central Iran. The pot was discovered inside the second perimeter of Sayok Tepe, where the gardener was grading the earth to fence off his garden. The recent find is one of the biggest pots ever discovered at the site, with the mouth measuring a whopping 120 centimetres in diameter. The discovery shows that the second perimeter of Sayok Tepe stretches over 100 metres beyond the first perimeter to an area where a number of construction projects have destroyed some parts of the site. Sayok Tepe has been surrounded by houses that have been constructed illegally over the past few years, and recent studies by Iranian archaeologists indicate that the first houses were built at the site around 7,500 years ago. Let's just hope that the destruction in Iran is limited to gardening. Archaeologists digging at Vanuatu in Melanesia have unearthed an ancient cemetery containing the curiously headless skeletons of what are believed to be the earliest known ancestors of Pacific Islanders. The 3,000-year-old remains are those of the Lapita people, who colonised Vanuatu in New Caledonia, Fiji, Tonga and Samoa around the time of the Pharaohs. Professor Spriggs from the Australian National University said tests are expected to confirm that the skeletons belong to the ancestors of Polynesian groups like the Maori, Tongans and Samoans. It's the earliest cemetery ever found on Pacific Islands. Up until now, the people have speculated about the origins of the Polynesians, the origins of the Lapita people, and who were the Lapita people. Now they actually have the Lapita people. The Vanuatu National Museum asked them to investigate the site after it was disturbed by bulldozers clearing the way for a prawn farm. The site was excavated in three stages over 2004, 2005 and 2006 by a team, as we've been reporting in the past. The remains, as well as other archaeological evidence, suggest that Lapita dug up dead people and removed their heads after burial. They also held the number 3 as magical and may well have believed that children were not real people, because not one child has been found amongst the 70 skeletons at the cemetery. Another mystery is the location of the heads themselves. Of the 70 individuals, only 7 skulls have been located, including 3 on one man's chest, 3 between the legs of another man, and 1 in a pot. Scientists in New Zealand and at US laboratories have been testing the bones for traces of ancient DNA, which, together with skull measurements, will hopefully solve the riddle of the origins of the Polynesian people. It's most likely to confirm theories that the Polynesians originally came from Southeast Asia via Eastern Indonesia, the Philippines, and ultimately Taiwan. The team also unearthed 6 elaborately decorated pots, the largest number of completely reconstructed pots of any site of its age in the Pacific. 5 of the pots are on display at Vanuatu, and the 6th is being restored at the Australian Museum. Horse figures painted on rock formations in Eskişehir are the oldest in Anatolia in Turkey. Research revealed that the first known horse figure dates back to 6000 BCE, when the area was first settled in the early Neolithic period. Ali Umut Turkan of Anadolu University said that rock paintings featuring horse figures were found by two amateur photographers in 2002. The rock paintings contained 20 horse figures and a figure resembling a human showing his hands before the horses. Turkan said that the figures were later made clear using the computer program Photoshop, and this was the first time that this technique had been applied to such work in Turkey. The first direct evidence that early Europeans were unable to digest milk has been found by scientists at the University College London and Mainz University. The team showed that in the gene that controls our ability to digest milk was missing from Neolithic skeletons dating from between 5840 and 5000 BCE. However, through exposure to milk, lactose tolerance evolved extremely rapidly in evolutionary terms. Today it is present in over 90% of the population of Northern Europe and is also found in some African and Middle Eastern populations, but is completely missing from the majority of the adult population globally. The ability to drink milk is the most advantageous trait that evolved in Europeans in the recent past. Without the enzyme lactase, drinking milk in adulthood causes bloating and diarrhea. Although the benefits of milk tolerance are not fully understood yet, they probably include the continuous supply of milk compared to the boom and bust of seasonal crops, its nourishing qualities, and the fact that it is uncontaminated by parasites, unlike stream water, making it safer to drink. All in all, the ability to drink milk gave some early Europeans a big survival advantage. The team carried out DNA tests on Neolithic skeletons from some of the earliest organised farming communities in Europe. Their aim was to find out whether these early Europeans carried a version of the lactase gene that controls our ability to produce the essential enzyme lactase in adulthood. The team found that it was absent from the ancient bone DNA. This led researchers to conclude that the consumption and tolerance of milk would have been very rare or absent at the time. This study challenges the theory that certain groups of Europeans were lactose tolerant and that this inborn ability led to the community to pursue dairy farming. Instead, they actually evolved their tolerance to milk within the last 8,000 years due to exposure to it. British Culture Minister David Lammy has placed a temporary export bar on a jadeite Neolithic axe head that once formed part of the collection of one of the fathers of British archaeology. This will provide a last chance to raise the money to keep the axe head, which dates from before 4000 BCE, in the United Kingdom. The reviewing committee of the export of works of art and objects of cultural interest, run by the Museums, Library and Archives Council, recommended that the export decision be deferred on the grounds that the axe head is so closely connected with British history and national life that its departure would be a misfortune of the outstanding aesthetic importance and of outstanding significance for the study of Neolithic Britain. Found near Sturminster Marshall, this Neolithic axe head is a particularly fine specimen, beautifully shaped and polished, which shows off with considerable sophistication the tonalities and graduations of the fine hard jadeite stone from which it was manufactured. Its importance is further enhanced by the fact that it was once forming part of the historic collection of Lieutenant General Augustus Pitt Rivers, now recognised as one of the fathers of British archaeology. Such axes were never functional, but were already high-status heirlooms when they reached Britain around 6,000 years ago, having been made some centuries before from rock quarried in the Italian Alps. New research is contributing much to our understanding of them and their meaning in the lives of those who made and acquired them. The decision on the export license application for the axe head will be deferred for a period ending on the 20th of April. The period may be extended until the 20th of July inclusive if serious intentions to raise funds with a view to making an offer to purchase the axe head at the recommended value of £24,000, excluding VAT, is expressed. So, any offers out there? Thank you very much. Can I remind you that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section can be found on Badger, www.bajr.org. Remember, more can always be found at Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com, and If you fancy some travel around the world to doing archaeology, pop into Past Horizons. That's www.pasthorizons.com. Thanks for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return to us again next week.